Everyone knows therapy is great for solving problems, but getting therapy has its own problems too, like finding the right therapist, fitting into their schedule, and of course, the cost. Well, BetterHelp can solve those problems. It's totally online and built around your schedule. It's surprisingly affordable too. Connect with a credentialed therapist by phone, video, or online chat, all from the comfort of your home. Visit betterhelp.com to learn more and save 10% on your first month. That's BetterHelp, H-E-L-P.
This is the story of the one. As a maintenance engineer, he hears things differently. To the untrained ear, everything on his shop floor might sound fine, but he can hear gears grinding or a belt slipping. So he steps in to fix the problem at hand before it gets out of hand. And he knows Granger's got the right product he needs to get the job done, which is music to his ears. Call, click Granger.com, or just stop by. Granger, for the ones who get it done.
No man, diamonds in my teeth, I got a lot of shine. Running up the number, that's a lot of crime. Try to take it from me, must be out your mind. I keep playing, got a sign. Smokey in the air, it's a lot of pine.
Welcome to episode 385 of Fourth and John. I'm Dale Summers here with Evan Hollywood Hearn, Mr. Primo, a.k.a. Prime, and Hollis Thomas, a.k.a. Damn Skippy. We're talking about the 8-1 Eagles. I don't know what you need to do to be jacked up. Last week was amazing. I think all Eagle fans and I think players, media alike had this game on their mind. The buildup was huge. The buildup was tremendous. I think in Prime's household, it was a family split, and a lot of households were split.
Hey, I got a question. Prime, did you get your brother?
Of course I did. You couldn't wait your turn to ask that?
Yeah, okay. Anyway. So the Eagles, man, this is a big win. We talked about Eagle fans. I talked to a lot of Eagle fans all day, every day, and it was this quest for a perfect W does not always exist. Like Adrian and Rocky, she says just win. The Eagles are winning. It might be ugly, but at the end of the day, the Eagles are battle-tested. They've been out there swinging punches, throwing counter punches. When you think that they're out and down and out, they come back and show you that they are resilient. They've showed you that they can come back through adversity. You see guys like Kenny Gainwell, who we were running through the streets. This week comes back, scores a touchdown. Plays are going to happen. Players are going to get injured, which really sucks to see Dallas Goedert go down. But again, at the end of the day, Eagles came back and got a big dub. I think the crowd was electrifying. I thought the pregame was tremendous. Shout out to all the Eagle fans that showed up in support of the tailgate. The Slays were out there. Everyone had a good time. Mama Slay was in the building. But I think the vibes were, I think it led right into the game. So I mean, how are you guys feeling being 8-1 right now,
bro? I need to talk to my heart doctor. I got to be honest with you. Mi corazón, primo. It was pounding out of its chest on Sunday night. What did I say? Going into the game, I said that this is the biggest Eagles game that we have had in quite a long time, and it lived up to it, man. I think it was a hell of a battle. It was a full 60 minutes of hard-fought football on both sides. But the icing on top is the fact that the Dallas Cowboys, they tried their damn hardest. They had their, they marched downfield at the end. All of that was not good enough to win, bro. That we're simply a better team. And I think the Eagles proved that this past weekend. We gave ourselves a nice cushion in the division. And it's glorious, man. Watching the Cowboys fans. I think my favorite thing in the past couple of days has been watching the Cowboys fans online trying to justify as to, why things went the way they did. I even saw someone, I'll end with this. I even saw someone earlier today who was suggesting that, still saying, that the Cowboys broke both the Niners and the Cardinals because neither of those teams have won since playing them. Keep in mind, Dallas lost both of those games. So the Cowboys fans are out there in delusion land. We're out here in Wintersville, so I'm happy.
What more is there to say, man? What more is there to say? Look, I was the total opposite when it comes to this game, divisional game, you know, and like Gail mentioned in the beginning of the show, the house is divided between me and my brother. I was confident and good, man. Like, no, not my mi corazón was straight, bro. It was straight. Like, seriously, like, I was so good because, I mean, from the vibes, from the time we got there, the tailgate, the people, the crowd, the energy, going into the building, walking in there with my brother. It's always a good game. We always get, you know, I love my little brother, and we always dap it up before the games, wish each other good luck. It was cool, and it was a very interesting game. That last drive, yes, maybe you might have had one or two extra heartbeats in there, you know what I mean? But you said it, man. They did everything in their power, and they still couldn't go ahead and pull it off because we held our ground. We did what we needed to do to go ahead and pull that W. Now, was there a moment that I might have flipped out? Yeah, I think it was the moment where I felt like it was a dirty play on Dallas Goedert on why he got injured. I mean, that shit looked like some WWE type shit that happened right there. But I flipped out. My brother was like, why are you going to go screaming that out so loud? I was like, and everybody in my section was like, that was a fucked up play. That was some dirty shit that had happened. So, I mean, I even think I heard the little kid in front of me. Like, that's how bad it was. And then, of course, my brother living in his own world, and Gail got a glimpse of this as we caught up with each other at the back at the parking lot. Yeah, he comes and he says, We beat y'all, man. The stats was there. We had the better game. We you know what I mean? So right now in my brother's world, we're 7-2. We lost. But you guys see it.
Does he get a banner for that?
Oh my god, man. It was just like he won't stop, man. He won't let it go. But you know what I mean? Look, I'm gonna end it with Dallas sucks, man. We put that W on, baby.
You know what? My heart was pounding a little bit when Jalen was slow getting up, but then the fact that he was moving around, my heart was at ease. You know, I thought that, and then I thought that the officials were gonna have something to do with it, but the defense showed me something that no matter what you do, you're not getting into this end zone. And then when our defense line stood up and got those sacks, and you know, it's one of those things where I think the team is starting to get it now, as far as like being the NFC champs. When you're the NFC champs, everybody's gonna be throwing out their best foot. And even though everybody keeps talking about, well, Dak played his best game, I was like, they're talking about he's the best player on the field. He didn't make the right plays. He stepped out of bounds on a 2-point conversion. He missed the tight end going straight down the field, wide open, which I'm glad he did. When you look at when the dust settles, he chokes in big time situations, and nothing deterred from that. My biggest takeaway though is after them losing, everybody's talking about what they did wrong. Like it's somebody. Well, when we make the fatal mistake of talking about the Eagles, we think they're playing. Sometimes I feel like people think we're playing on air, kind of like it's what did the Cowboys do? No, the Eagles is over there kicking their ass. That's number 7-8, who they just paid on the Cowboys team, he got blew by all game long. He false started, and that was his fault. That's not our fault. I was like, and then they was talking about the two touchdowns that get called back because they weren't touchdowns. The two touchdowns and a 2-point conversion. He was clearly, those calls, I felt like, had it not been for replay the way they have it now, they would have gave it to the Cowgirls and we would have got the stiffy. But my pure jubilation was listening to Skip Bayless talk about, we got lucky. Motherfucker, please. I'd rather be lucky than a loser. Get the hell out of here. And I don't know about you guys. Some of you guys said you guys were recovering. But the coffee yesterday, Monday morning, tastes a little bit sweeter just because of the victory over the Cowboys. Mm-hmm. I don't know if you guys saw what I said on Vettit about, you know, you don't put up anything extra for the Cowboys. But when you whip that ass and at the end of the game, it's the star of that helmet, it's a little bit more jubilation. You feel a little bit happier. But you go throughout the season trying to kick everybody, put your foot in everybody's ass sideways to the next life. But when you do it to the Cowboys and it comes out just like it did, and them still crying, talking about Dak was the best player on the field. Apparently not. And that, it was cool to hear. I just wanted to hear. I interrupted when I wanted to hear, because sometimes people have people in their family that are delusional. And Prime was telling me about his brother being a Cowboys fan. I still don't know how the fuck are you dealing with that. That's like, because I can. It's just think of having Skip Bayless live with you after the Cowboys lost.
Just you don't think that crossed my mind, bro? That's why I got Skip in my ear every day.
And it, you know what the funny thing is all of my friends that are from Texas, when they lost, they just text me and said, good game. Good game. Mm-hmm. Those are the people that are actually from Texas. A lot of them said they were not buying a single strand of Cowboys gear until Jerry Jones kicks the bucket.
I think that kind of spells out the difference between a Cowboys fan that's actually from the area down in Dallas versus one that grew up in Philly. I think that there's two different motivations there. One, you know, the people from Texas, from Dallas, they're similar to us in the fact that they started rooting for a team that is geographically close to them. Right. That's their hometown team. That's who they're rooting for. That makes sense. People from Philadelphia that started rooting for the Cowboys, their motivation is they just wanted to talk shit on the people around them. That's all they wanted to do. The Eagles and the Cowboys are rivals. They viewed that, and they wanted to talk shit. And now the tables have turned since they've grown up, and the Eagles are the better team, and they still got to, it's all about how the refs screwed them, about how they're just getting unlucky, blah, 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 blah. Yeah.
I got a quick question for all three of you guys, because we were at separate tailgates. Now, I was at the tailgate with Philly Sports Trips, and we had some of the London people there. Mm-hmm. Now, tell me if you guys saw this around your tailgate. There was like a few, there was some Cowboys fans that were kind of sprinkled in and walking around. Mm-hmm. And nobody Eagle-wise did anything obnoxious until one of the fuck sticks, they was high-fiving each other, the Cowboys. I was like, wow, just right there. They were just like celebrating in our face, like, we about to kick y'all ass. I was like, really? And so as soon as that happened, it was some dude just walking up. We'll call him the graphic equalizer. Because he said, the Cowboys suck! Get the fuck out of here! I was like, oh, God. And you know where we at? So it's like, ah, shit.
Now, we had two Cowboy fans, one being Prime's brother, and I saw one other one. I was like, look, we got another cockroach over here. If you want to meet him, I'll put you all in the corner. You can watch the little game, have a little good time. But we do take care of everyone, but at the end of that, the whole vibe was straight up Eagles.
I'm asking because the vibe was cool until they start high-fiving each other and saying, you know, and like,
no, I know they're being all boisterous and whatnot.
That's the cockiness about them, man. I guess that's just what it is. Now, I recall one Cowboys fan that was actually walking by, and he went around because, you know, I mean, we were eyeing him the whole time. So he decided to walk around. And then he goes by my truck, and I'm like, yo, man, come here. You good, man. Like, come on. I invited him back. He walks around my truck. He comes the other side. And I'm like, yo, man, you want something to drink? You want something to eat, man? Like, come on in, man. We show hospitality regardless. Like, you know what I mean? This jersey you got on is some raggedy shit. And your team's a piece of shit. You know what I mean? So that clearly makes you a piece of shit. But, you know what I mean? I want you to have a good time. You know what I mean? Come on in. And he was like, yo, man, that was real cool about you. You know what I mean? Inviting me. I was like, yo, it is nothing like that. You get people put out the bad, you know, the bad shit about us fans when they really don't know us. You know what I mean? They don't know how genuine, you know, us, the 4th and John crew are towards other rivalry teams and stuff like that. And we got the opportunity to show that this weekend. It was like, I think I counted maybe about three or four that was actually at the tailgate. I know there was a female that I ended up priming, that was a Cowboys fan. She looked like she was out of place from the get-go. But, you know what I mean, as time went on, she felt comfortable. She was having a good time. So, I mean, that's what it's all about. But, you know, regardless, the cockiness, that's they always just try to find the right opportunity to start being cocky about shit.
You mean, like, and even after they're losing on Twitter?
I want to give it to Garrett. Go ahead. Like, let them know. What was my brother? My brother was just – on, he was just going and going and going.
Oh, after the game?
Oh, after the game, right?
Like he had this smile of like
after the game.
after
it, it was just popping. He's like, I feel good where we're at. I'm like, oh, just lost.
That's what he does.
He's like, and I don't want to see you guys
out. That's where he feels good.
I don't want to see you guys on the show talking all that smack because I'll be in the comments. He's probably in the but I'm just saying it was
comment.
He was kind of proud of his team where they were at.
And you know what the funny thing is? There's a lot of people, the delusional people, they were thinking the same thing. And it was like, we played knockdown drag out football and we kicked some ass. I was like, but they couldn't even play their best. And then people are saying, oh, well, we got them. They barely won. What's the key word in there? Won. We won.
Well, I think there's another fact to that too. I mean, like if they're using the Eagles as a measuring stick game and they lose that game, and then his takeaway is we're almost as good as you. I mean, dude, you're saying it without saying it.
I think you said they were a better team. Did he say they were a better team than us?
He said that they were the better team, and that's what
why didn't they have the better score?
That's what they just keep on saying. Skip is saying that to this day. He said it on the show. I still feel like we're the better team. We won that game. Look, I'm not going to take nothing away. The refs were horrible on both sides.
Right.
For us and for them. Don't get me wrong. It was a bad calling game. But I mean, like, come on.
That's the wrong wheel, though.
That's the wrong wheel. Hey, so Prime, if you look at what they were doing, it was a whole bad thing. The ref make bad calls on both sides, but it's like you can't let the ref. The fact that at the end of the game they had the opportunity where the refs called pass interference. They got them all the way down. They got you past
They went from our 14 down to inside. I'm sorry, their 14 down to inside of our 10 in under 50 seconds. With the help of all the penalties.
Now the other part,
they're going to try and say that the refs screwed them out of the game. You had the opportunity to win.
Exactly. But the funniest part, I caught a little bit of their show, and Richard Sherman said it best. He said the defense gets all these damn turnovers and they all this high and mighty against losing teams. So, but when they come up against a good team, they disappear. Mm-hmm. They disappear. It's like in a stages like this where they're supposed to be doing that. He said, because you can look at it two ways. Yeah, they outgained us by 100 yards. Dak threw for like 370 something. I was like, but he didn't make the play. You could be great between the 20s and between the fives. But if you don't get in, you ain't shit. I don't care who you are. You can pile up all the yards you want. But if you're not scoring six, a lot of times they are 48% in the red zone. 48, I'm exaggerating a little bit because when they get down there, they don't score touchdowns. And that Richard Sherman was like, and then the defense normally will set them up for a touchdown style drive. They didn't do none of that. They were held at bay. And that was the one thing that I took away. And I was happy he said that because all the delusional Cowboys fans was talking about that's why they were smiling, Prime, because we almost had y'all. Yeah. We had y'all on the ropes. We had y'all shook. Motherfucker, you started off at the 6-yard line. Your last play was taken from the fucking 30. Are you kidding me?
Now that's some big positives from the Eagles wins versus the Cowboys. We'll bring up a couple in the chat and you guys as well, but I'm gonna start off with I talk about setting the tone a lot. Like sometimes when you start a game out, sometimes you have to do things to let them know. And I think big balls, Nick. We talk about big balls, Doug. I think Nick Sirianni going for twice. Getting the tush push
in his own zone.
Yeah, on the 32. 32, and then coming back on the fourth and third to Goddard. I think, you get the three and out, then you get the score right off the bat. I thought they set the tone. I remember Ev texting me during the game. He was like, that was a beautiful drive, and I thought that really set the tone for the Eagles. What would be your biggest positive from the Eagles win? What are some of them?
I think the first thing that actually comes to mind is actually like a little outside the box. It's resilience, man. It's the fact that this Eagles team, there was multiple injuries in that game that, whether it be Jalen going down and looking hobbled, whether it be Goddard breaking his forearm, or whether it be both Bradbury and Slay going down on the last drive of the game, to be able to come out with a win on that, I think it just shows resilience from our entire roster. The bye, like Jalen said, could not be coming at a better time. We were hurting for some rest, man. and the bye is here. We are able to get our guys healthy. But just the toughness of this team, you know, one of my favorite football quotes I love is good teams beat bad teams. And the Eagles are 8-1 right now, man. They're 8-1. They had that one cough up loss that they always have every year to the Jets, but they've beaten good teams and they've beaten bad teams. The Cowboys, on the other hand, I want to bring this up real quick. Because I think that there was a whole slew last year of, you know, talking about how the Eagles had an easy schedule, yada, yada, yada. You know, we're going into week 10 now, second year in a row, 8-1. Cowboys, who have they beaten so far this year? They beat the Giants. They beat the Jets. They beat the Patriots. They beat the Chargers, and they beat the Rams. Have they beaten anybody good? Let's be real. They lost to the Cardinals, and they got ass blasted by the Niners.
Whoa.
That's what happened. I know, That's what happened. They got opened up on primetime TV.
But the Rams just signed Carson Wentz.
Huh?
The Rams just signed Carson Wentz.
I know. Talk about full circle. My point is that, like, the Eagles, they just come in and they win. I don't know how, you know, whatever you want to say last year about the Eagles' strength of schedule, whatever. Dude, we win games. That's all we can do. You play who you play, and we win those games.
But it's crazy because everybody talks about the schedule. They talked about the schedule at the beginning of the season where y'all got a tough schedule. Y'all not gonna be that team. 8-1. All right, 8-1. That's the first half of the season, and we play some serious teams. And look, we overcame adversity, like Gale said earlier, man. Like, that's just the thing. We don't give up. We make slight changes. That's all my brother kept on saying during the game. We're coming back. I see the final score being 31-28. You know, I mean, minor changes. No, bro. We make the minor changes. Yeah. We went into that locker room second half and we came out with a different game plan. At least that's what I saw. Yeah. Defense played a whole lot better. Now, that last drive where it got a little iffy, the penalties, I mean, the calls by the refs, that's what almost changed the outcome of the game. But look, they held their ground. You, like you said, man, they were at the six. They had more than enough opportunity to go ahead and drive that thing in, and they couldn't do it. So that's not our problem. That's their problem. Right. You know what I mean? That they couldn't go ahead and put a better game plan together. So at the end of the day, the W is in our column. You know, we were the better team, and we do whatever we got to do to go ahead and get that win. So I'm good.
Yeah, the funniest thing real quick was I'm just looking at some of the comments. Now, I heard that they were working out Des Bryant.
Is that true?
Yeah.
Was that Martavis? Wasn't it Martavis Bryant?
Martavis.
They just signed him, I believe. Martavis,
I said, okay. They brought somebody, but then I do know Martavis. My bad, Des be down there. He be talking shit, but he's one of their former players. The one thing I think that it's the entitledness. It's like it's not that they're delusional. They feel entitled just because they have the star on their helmet. Now, the only thing that they're entitled to is they were the first NFL team to have cheerleaders. They were the first ones. They were. And that's why they became popular, because of the Dallas Cowboy cheerleaders, because of the ladies, not because of the guys. So it's like when you look at everybody's trying to stand on the shoulders of what the Triplets did.
Hey, you guys want to know? We got some breaking news. You know who's following 4th and John now?
Who's that?
Your boy Des Bryant.
He's listening.
He did have a birthday. Okay. So you know he got an L for his birthday. I actually did invite him to come down to a tailgate if he was in town.
Okay. I invite him onto the show. A lot of people were tagging us about, you know what I mean, yo, I'm trying to go ahead and go back and forth with some Eagle fans. Come on to the show, bro. I'm willing to listen. I had a face off with Des Bryant back in 18 at Dallas Stadium, you know what I mean, in the parking lot. As he went back into his car to go pick up something, we and him had an encounter. You know what I mean? My brother was like, yo, leave him alone. I'm not leaving him alone. I'm going to talk shit to him. You know what I mean? Listen, it is what it is. But Des Bryant is a little bit butthurt too, because I think he made a bet with D-Jax on this game. And obviously he lost. You know what I mean? I don't know if it was about them splitting the two games or Dez was very confident that they were going to go ahead and sweep us this year. Well, that ain't happened. You know what I mean? And I don't care. But my brother was like, he stops me in the cut today at work. Like, yo, you hear we signed Martavius Bryant? Wow, bro. With B. Okay.
Yay.
Like, yay. And then, yo, then he had the nerve. That, the other thing that killed me is over there, he's like, yo, I can't believe y'all talking shit. Y'all lost to the Jets. Bro, you lost to the Cardinals, who are 1-8.
Oh my God.
What are you talking about?
You bring that up too, they go, "Yeah, but the Cardinals are actually better than the meets no, the eye."
They're 1-8.
They won one game, and it's versus you.
Hey, but their quarterback had just got traded from the Cleveland Browns. Josh Dobbs.
Yo, Josh Dobbs is the man. I don't care what anybody says.
I'm kind of a Dobbs fan right now.
I'm a fan of Josh Dobbs. Man. I am. That man could go to any organization and make something happen.
Viking fans are shaving their eyebrows right now. So it's a good scene.
That's not mean, though. He got pro.
Well, it was supporting. But any other guys you guys want to call out? I'm gonna give one.
I want to. I mean, there's one thing. This has been a very happy show. We've been boisterous about our birds coming out on top. But if I can critique one thing, in the beginning of the game, the game plan to have. I understand that our slot options are limited. Right. But Eli Ricks on Lamb was killing me, man. It was absolutely killing me.
Well, was it killing you as much as
not as bad as Lamb was killing Ricks? That's for sure.
Yeah, was it bad as when Bradbury was on him? Toast.
Yeah,
toast.
Darius Slay.
Anybody that lined up over there, they just gave the young guy some. I was like, but but you can't put.
I was dying for him to get doubled up, man. Like I just keep on watching, like. Eli Ricks go out there and just get absolutely destroyed, and I'm like, "Yo, can we give him some help, please?" Well,
yeah, I usually get the play by play with Gale as when he's with me and everything. But Gale, I need to understand why are they giving so much cushion, bro? What is the cushion all about?
Because you talk about they ain't trying to get toasted, but Darius Slay actually mentioned about like fans have been talking about. Why is he not traveling to the slot? He actually said he's been trained the way that he's been trained. He's not trained to man the slot the way that people want him to go in there. He's like, that's my job is to be on the outside. He's like, I know you Eagle fans want me to travel, but that's not how I'm being coached. So at the end of the day, it's just how our our defense is set up. Think about the guys that we've had in the slot. We're talking about Goodrich. We're talking about Joe. We're talking about Ricks. Now we got Sidney Brown in the slot, and we're in a world of problems right now in the slot. Bradley Roby,
we need him.
Hopefully,
back.
Can share some things up. Yeah. But
now the one thing that I will tell you guys is, I was when I see the corners, I don't want Bradbury in the slot, and I don't want Slay in the slot because, like they said, they used to having that they used to being able to double team their guy. And when I say double team that guy, that sideline is the other guy that they use the sideline a lot. When you're in that slot, it's kind of like when I like playing nose guard because it's like fighting in the closet. But when you line up out at the three technique, it's way too much motherfucking room out there for me to get reached or then for them to run away from me and me to get cut down like a redwood. So then plus Bradbury doesn't have the hip swivel that you need. To be able to cover the smaller slot guys, and we're gonna come up against the big slot guys. That's why I hope that Roby comes back, and I like Ricks in most situations except for when they jam CD Lamb in there. When they jam CD Lamb in there, we need to. The game is on, and I watched them try to jam him, and they completely miss. What they need to do is I was talking to Doc. We had Doc talk, and I blurted out. Doc, what is one robber? You know what one robber is? It means, and Doc's eyes lit up because that means that you give him a two-shell high look, and then as the safeties are switching, Doc has everything in the middle. So he's roaming the middle, watching the quarterback's eyes, and when he gets ready to throw the ball, or he got the ball. I don't see us doing none of that, and the guys on the slot know that they have Doc's help, so they're not worried about getting beat inside. So, but I don't see any of those.
We don't have nobody filling that gap right now.
Slay also said with him being in the slot and moving around, it's an easy tell to any. He said, especially Dak, knowing that if I'm there, he knows we're in a man type situation, and then he can easily change the play on that side. But I think you just talking about Desai, I mean, they were averaging what, 28 points a game. He limited them. And so at the end of the day, with what we're dealt with, it's a tough scene out there. I do think we keep seeing the same thing. We talk about the same things. We talk about Reed Blankenship, how much we love the guy, but in space, he is now getting picked on. Our linebackers.
He was one of the top rated secondary players this past week. Just letting
you know.
I just told you that they said the best player on the field was Dak Prescott. I don't listen to those people who don't watch film. I was like, when you watch film, Reed, not to what he said, Reed was doing pretty decently, but he got like kind of, I want to say he's still coming off that injury, but he got kind of jammed up on a couple of calls. He just got beat. It's not the record. It's not going to be the last time, and it's not the record. My thing was that they kept going, and they didn't let that fluster them, because you have to realize, and the one thing that I have to tell people, the other side of the ball is paid too. That team is paid just like we are, because they some of the best of the best. So, and they work out and they do the exact same things that we do. But go ahead.
I was just going to say, I do have positive news in the world of the slot. You know, as far as the long term, I bet you that 90% of our fans, including maybe even you guys as well, have forgotten that how we went and got Isaiah Rodgers after he went and got suspended. Mm-hmm. And so for him to come in next year. So do you think that when Rodgers comes in next year?
Oh, yeah.
Are we moving past Avante? Because, man, I love Avante, but he's just. He's unreliable as far as health, man. He gets injured every year.
There's somebody else falling into that category too, man.
Who is that? Tell me who that is.
Man, bro, I get upset about this and the whole N'Kobe Dean situation, bro. Like, I really got high hopes for this kid, man. You know what I mean? And I get amped up to seeing him on the field, but then he's just like, he can't last.
Yeah.
I mean, come on, what's going on?
He was the one thing that I did notice. He was. I don't think that they run any pursuit drills like. It's like when that pursuit drill is a drill you do before practice, and when I see games like we just had, I know if I was playing in the game and I saw a game and Jim Johnson was coaching and he saw the shit that I saw, I know pursuit drill. You don't want to run pursuit drill. Pursuit drill is where the defensive line, he says hike and he act like he's pitching the ball, and everybody pursues that. But you're going to line up 5 yards apart on the sideline. And so that one defensive end gets the first line, but then everybody else is running for the other lines. And guess who's not as fast as everybody else? That's right. So my line is all the way like 50 to 60 fucking yards away. Mm. So that's why I didn't like running pursuit drill. But it's like, but if you pursue the ball and don't do like what we were doing, like, and I'm with you guys. I think the other thing, tell me if I'm wrong, we need to practice more tackling, because it's like we missed so many tackles and stuff, and it's just like, come on, dude.
Yeah. I'll give a shout out to Slay for an amazing tackle that made Dak Prescott look like he was on a break dancing on his neck. He said that from practice against Dak, who was his teammate in college, he said, normally I knew what he's going to do. He's going to try and run me over, but I didn't think he had the, you know, nerve to try and hurdle him and try to jump over him, but he's like, nah, that's not gonna happen, dog. And that was a dope moment. Dope moment for me on Sunday was hanging out with Omar. He just brought up in the comments, all the way from Bermuda,
Omar.
First time at an Eagles game. He had the time of his life. We had an opportunity to go on the tour of the link, and just to, you know, to see him look like a 12-year-old. Having time in his life, he had a little sabbatical, did his own trip, hung out with Philly Sports Trips, and came down to the tailgate. So he had a good time. So
that was awesome, getting the guys from England and Ireland as well. All the you know, the British Eagles fans that made their trip over. It was nice to meet all those guys.
Yeah. And now you didn't talk to Omar was this the first? He said this was the first time that he had traveled since the pandemic. And his wife was teasing him, and she was trying to make him wait to sign up for the trip because she wanted to check his schedule. He was like, nah, you got to get your own. Now, I don't, did you guys meet Vicky? I see you guys with Vicky there.
You know how far? You know how far she traveled on boat, planes, trains, and automobiles.
Oh shit!
She traveled by boat first, like a speed boat, to a train, and then to the airport. I was like, "Damn!" And she was like, she had been up 20. She traveled literally 24 hours to get here, and I was like, "What?" And like.
Dedication to Eagles fans knows no bounds, man.
I know, and it was hard to put into words. Just like the look on the face, just interacting with them, going to the Sixers game and doing the happy hour, then doing the tailgating and stuff. And it was a great group. Liam, my boy Liam,
yeah.
Liam's a clown. I just tell him he's welcome. But we had a nice time Thursday night after the
heard you had a good time.
I want them to be like rock stars for a day.
No, he called me from the airport yesterday and just kind of like reiterated about how much fun that they had, and just all his guys and girls got an opportunity to have this great moment, and that hopefully this continues to build,
right?
And it just, you know, they just continue that the London invasion, or you know, the British persuasion, or whatever you want to call it. They just had a good time. Pipeline of you know, further future trips down the road.
I wanted to ask Prime, you know, as our, you know, our resident Spanish man, did you try the taco?
I did try the taco, and that shit was banging. You know what I mean? The sauce that Alex had going on.
I got a lot of comments.
Yeah, it put a real good taste to it and everything. He hooked me up.
Lime sour cream.
Yeah, bro. That thing was off the chain, man. Alex definitely came through with the tacos and everything.
He put some stank on it. That shit was good. I'm going to be
bro.
That was really good.
I went back for seconds, man.
Yeah, that thing was hitting, man.
Talk about hitting.
Oh, well, but hold on. My bad. Yo, shout out to Helena, bro. Coming through.
Oh, yeah.
Through with the Boricua comida. Oh, my God. That thing. And I had some leftovers yesterday at work. Oh, my God. They were asking, and I said, no, mine. Nobody else. I ain't sharing this shit.
Was it empanadas?
What, bro? She had the patelillos, you know what I mean, with the ground meat. Those things were hitting from the dip, man. And thank God she had the amount that she had, because after the game, the fact that you could go back to the car and that comida was right there, hell yeah, bro. I was like, I'm over there, like I went up there, I was like, yo, can I take the rest of this?
Are you? That's where it went. That's where it went. I didn't get none.
I was like, yo, could I have the rest of this? Like,
I was wondering, maybe if there's some left, and I was like,
they were gone, bro. They were gone.
I want to give a quick shout out to Tim Kincaid from Sweet Boy Spot. He stayed with me this weekend, but he had a great time, helped out with the tailgate prep. He was like, you guys are nuts, bro. Another shout out to you see him in the comments here, Mark Bird, all the way from Oregon, man. Looking to have the time of his life. He's double fisting, just enjoying himself. I thought
Mark's swag was off the chain, man.
Dripped out, man.
Yo, and shout out to you guys for finally making it to the tailgate, man. I mean, you know, I sat there, I held that bitch down.
You said it the first time out of all these
in the history of tailgates.
This motherfucker is the first one in the goddamn pocket. Hey, and then what did I say to you, Gail? What did I say to you? I said, yo, that's a sign. That's a great sign.
It is a great sign. I was like, I just want to let you guys know that we do this all the time, and you don't understand how crazy the scene was down there before the game started. Usually it's one line coming, you know, one coming this way, one coming this way. And everybody pays attention to the rules. No cutting or nothing. I just said one lane for the Cowboys Eagle game. It was three lanes. Two lanes were made up. And then people were starting to cut line for people that have been there since 3:30 in the morning.
Wow.
So imagine there was a big brawl that happened. It didn't get out of hand. We didn't know
what we tried.
I'm trying not to report the bad stuff, but it could have been. That's why Evan got in first.
Yeah.
ahead of us because we would have been there. But the scene was insane. Three lanes of people just cutting. This girl next to me, she's like, "You ain't getting in front of me, dog."
Wow.
she was ready to fight.
But. Now there was something. So on the way to the tailgate, I'm thinking, you know, I left my house at like 11:15. So I get all the way down and I'm right at the light before you turn into live casino. Mm-hmm. I was like, okay, this should be okay. Mm-hmm. 20 minutes later, okay, this should be okay. Still at the light. 20 minutes later, this should be okay. Finally, I turned to get in there. I got to the light at like 11:40. I didn't turn in until 12:25. And then not only that, so then, you know, after we tailgate and stuff, I shag ass back home so I could catch the game on the big screen. So on the way out, I'm trying to leave, and mm-hmm. all the lanes on Packard had shit. They had all of them, the three here, the middle lane, and the two on this side were all going this way trying to get there. And then it was only one lane going back this way. So then as I'm going, if you guys are on the Eagle site, they tell you, as I'm riding, they're telling me all the parking lots that are closed. Then they say Walt Whitman Bridge is closed. Then they say Ben Franklin is closed. I was like, damn. Yeah, so then
crazy. A lot of events going on that
yeah,
day.
But I think it was mostly, because if you looked at it, it was mostly, most of the people there was Eagles fans. Mm-hmm. It was all Eagles fans. They was coming to tailgate and have a good time. I know somebody that spent $600 for standing room only.
When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger, where you'll find over 30,000 mouthwatering choices that excite your inner foodie. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week. You can also save up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with fuel points. More savings and more inspiring flavors make shopping Kroger worth it every time. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.
Wow. Standing room only.
That's crazy. Shout out to Alex, man, because he was a team player. Because when I got there, I saw him in line, and I'm like, "Yo, the minute you get an opportunity to let me get in front of you, you know what I mean?" He's like, "Prav, I got you." So that's it.
Shout out to his dad too. Yeah, his dad held the spot.
Team players, man. Players. Every
time. Your dad or your father-in-law?
No, Alex's dad.
Okay,
he saved the day. Like, just people just realize. These tailgates, it takes a lot to get these spots. And it was, at the end of the day, we had a good time. Everyone was smiling. Yeah. And
but Adrian. Y'all let Ev beat y'all there, though. What's up with that?
Yo, he was shining. Like
I burned a whole bone waiting for him, bro.
Like he won the MVP.
It was meant to be, man.
Y'all are never gonna live this down.
No, I was all right with it because, like I said, as soon as he bragged about it.
Full disclosure for everybody that's listening, I'm last to arrive every fucking tailgate. Listen, man, I don't do mornings. It's just I fucking hate mornings.
Yo, listen,
and I try my best to get down there, and I'm always the last one there. So when I was first in the spot, I called both of them up.
And was like,
you just think you can sleep in any goddamn time you want.
Go back to some positives. Adrian wanted to call out Zach Cunningham. Deserve some props. Just looking at the linebacker situations, it's kind of tough right now. It's a tough scene out there. But Sweat and BG, talking about Philadelphia needing some closers, you could bring in Sweat and BG. I love when Sweat made the sack, and then he did the Sweat move and then realized there was still more time on the clock, and he ran back. And BG, he got two sacks within like a couple minutes. This is like the fourth time in his career that he's actually done that. So I think,
and you led me into what I wanted to bring up next. Are we all on the same board? Are we retiring BG's number when it's all said and done?
Of course.
That 55 belongs in the rafters, man.
Yeah. You got to.
I think so.
He's been showing up
big time. Like, first of all, obviously the Super Bowl, knocking the ball out of Brady's hands. And like, dude, he's been the pulse of this team for over a decade, man. He's showing up big, you know, year 11, 12 versus the Cowboys. Like, he's earned it.
You know the fucked up part about his game, about his season last year. Now, this is the first time that I've ever seen
the comeback player of the year, be a fucking quarterback who was a fuck stick, and he just got his shit together. That didn't have an injury the previous year. And I, because I was always under the pressure that was somebody who came back from a horrible injury that they say would come back. And I'm like, how the fuck you gonna give it to Geno Smith?
Yeah.
And I felt slighted when he didn't get it. He was supposed to, because coming back from what he came back from, dude, and having your first double digit sack year, man, come on. And then it being this late in your career, and you still doing it and doing it well,
mm-hmm. with like less snaps too. Like yeah. he's getting this done with like anywhere from 11 to 25% of the snap count.
Yeah.
Like he's mad efficient, man. I saw that this game he had three monster impact plays out right. of 18 snaps he played.
Yeah,
that's the thing.
The other part too. Oh my bad. I was gonna piggyback off what you said. Has anybody checked out the way Fletcher Cox is playing now? Now that he's mm-hmm. got some rest, mm-hmm. now that he doesn't have to play 70, 80, and 90 plays a game.
Exactly.
Yep. Exactly. Like, and I think their season is second and really learning how to be pros and showing other guys how to be pros. Sorry about that, Gail. Go ahead.
No, I was saying, just thinking about all those younger, I was saying the last podcast, all these younger offensive linemen, they got to deal with a veteran type player in the fourth quarter who's well rested, who's got a lot of trickery in the bag. You got to deal with the Brandon Graham, he said that Terrence Steele was talking that shit, and he told him, he said, I'm coming back for you. And you got the old man mad, and he showed you what was up. He said, yeah, you talking that shit. I told him I'm coming back. But I think at the end of the day, I mean, you just got to love what he brings to the table. BG is just, he's the heart and soul, man. He said that the way that he saw that Jalen Hurts was out there, you know, hobbling, and just like, he's like, it just made me want to win this game even more for him.
I was going to say, remember we was talking at the beginning of the season that we were talking about the offensive guard position? What offensive lineman had to play the game last night? I mean, on Sunday.
He's my unsung hero right now, Tyler Steen.
Falling on the ball, bro.
First start. I was like, wow. I was like, and then everybody's like, did you see what when they flashed the camera to BG? He's like, whoo, we almost got fucked up.
Well, I mean, think about that, man. Think about how, like, I'm on cloud nine right now because the Eagles won, but like that could have gone so differently, man. We butt fumbled our way almost to a loss. And had that been the way it played out, there would have been a line on Ben Franklin.
Game of inches, man. Game of inches, man.
You know what I think would happen? I think our defense would have showed up and did something spectacular there. Mm-hmm. I just think that our defense like shows up when they need to. It's like if you notice like in the game, I want to say the game against the Rams when everybody kept talking about Hassan Reddick.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
And then what did he do? He showed up when it's in a time of need. I think the guys are starting to get it that you are the hunted. And it's like when you're the hunted, it's gonna be some times where some teams are gonna pull out all the stops. And I'm hoping like in one of these games that once we get our defense all the way together and they understand what Desai is doing, that we could get a three and out right away or a quick turnover. Because when you do that to a team that's been practicing their first 15 all week long, and they have to shit can that and go back to what they do, that's where you know the defense has arrived, and I can't wait until it happens. I haven't given up on N'Kobe Dean yet, but seeing him run around the way he was this past game, it was disheartening.
In space, oof. But who's your defensive MVP? Around the room here.
Defensive MVP. I guess I have to go to BG, man. I mean, he showed up in the moment when it really mattered. I think that like if you're looking for this was kind of a mistake-free football game as far as actual turnovers are concerned.
Right.
We did put the ball on the ground, but you know, we were able to fall back on it. And both teams, you know, Dak didn't throw any picks, they didn't have any fumbles. So it was a clean game, hard fought, and I think you just got to go to the playmakers, and that's BG.
I'm going to go with the other guy who made the play just as well, and that's Josh Sweat, man. Coming through big the way he did. He was him and BG were the closer of that game. They came clutch at the right time. Pulling off that sack was definitely huge, and we needed that. I mean, it was an 11-yard loss. that came in clutch right there. And that guy really played his ass off on Sunday.
You got Hollis.
I'm at wit's end because I'm thinking between Slay and BG, because Slay made the tackle that stopped him from getting in the end zone.
Yep.
But then BG hustled him and made him step out of bounds so he couldn't get the 2-point conversion. But then also BG did have those clutch sacks. you got to give it to Sweat still.
If there's a second MVP, I want to give the second MVP, the co-MVP, to the cameraman, because he picked up on every stupid move.
Yeah, you're not wrong, dude. We had the perfect every angle on everything.
Move those Cowboys did, man. When he pulled that ball back, and then F-Sex came right in clutch, you know, because you're watching it on TV. We're at the game. We didn't see that until the guy put it up on the Teletron, on the Jumbotron, and I'm like, oh shit! Like I thought we got a 2-point conversion, and then they were like, and you hear everybody like, wrong.
No, because that was deflating. But like, I caught that replay right as they were going into the commercial break, and I was like, I know that they're just on the edge of their seat in the stadium right now. I gotta let them pull it.
Yeah, we had Jalen Hurts' dad in the booth above us, and the play where Ferguson caught it. But caught it on the outside of the end zone.
Yeah, and Reed got him short.
Schoolmaker.
Oh, was it Schoolmaker? I'm sorry. Yeah. Well, Schoolmaker ended up falling short, but then tried to flip it over to the other hand real quick. Well, his dad was the one that saw it on TV. He was like, it's no good. It's no good. And then our whole section went nuts. And everybody's like, what's going on? And we were like, no touchdown. My brother was mad as hell. He was like, nah, man, that was a touchdown. No, bitch.
Yo, and I think that the ensuing drive off of that, this is something that I don't think we've seen yet, but I wanted to talk about. We got turned around and we were on our own like half-yard line.
Right.
The tush push out of that zone is phenomenal, dude. To give yourself space.
It's even
great
better
utilization of the tush push.
Micah Parsons was riding the wave for their defensive MVP to be riding the wave. Like, I'm like, get your hamstrings up. But my defensive MVP, I'm going with Brandon Graham, just in terms of coming up big in the last moments, but also like Hollis said, running down. Because, I mean, I saw another player kind of slow down, just eased up on the gate. Like, Brandon Graham goes 100 all the time, gives you all maximum effort, and just his presence made that play happen. So I think I'm just hat-tipping the OG. I'll give him that MVP this week. Your offensive MVP, y'all.
It's kind of hard to not go Hurts. So I will. I mean, Hurts. Let's just say is the given. Should we go for someone other than Hurts, or you just guys want
to
be shoot?
Somebody has to. There, you have it. You have Hurts. You know what I mean? I'm gonna go ahead. And this is just a joke. You know what I mean? I was gonna go ahead and say Rashad Penny. You know what I mean? Because he made his appearance. But Smitty, bro. Smitty with that clutch catch, the footing in the end zone was just like, wow. You know what I mean? Like, seriously, like, just wow. Like, my man, he is so gifted. And when he brings that ball down, I just wish we could just get a whole – not more out of him. I just wish we could get more to him. I know AJ and Jalen are on a good path right now. But, man, just imagine if we were on a good path two ways. AJ and Devontae, like, we would be killing it right now. Killing it, bro. So it's just like – yeah, Devontae Smith was my offensive MVP.
Damn it, you stole. I'm going to go with Jalen. I'm going to go with Jalen Hurts because when we thought he was going down.
Hey, Dad, who's he calling Daddy here?
That's me. That's my daughter.
His daughter, bro.
Oh, my bad. My bad. I'm sorry.
Hey, you got kids. Don't do that.
Hey, sis. How you doing?
That's my baby girl. I said I was going to go with Jalen Hurts because he led this team. He he led us, man. It was like, he made all the right moves. He didn't turn the ball over. We didn't see the crap that the stuff that we saw earlier in the season with his indecisiveness. He started to get it down. Now I don't know about you guys, but I still want Brian Johnson to go look at some of the film from last year. Look at how we ran the ball. This is a defense that you really run the ball at because they try to get you behind the sticks and make you have to pass, and we didn't have to do that. So you can get You can give the MVP to Jalen or the offensive line for handling business.
But I got to give it to Jalen just because he persevered and the way he fought through that bruised knee. Because I've had a bruise. I know you guys have you had a bruised bone before?
Mm-hmm.
That shit hurts. And anytime it gets touched, like it got touched at the I didn't know how bad it was until I rewatched the game and I saw how it bent his eye.
Yeah.
I was like, damn. So I got to give it to him, man.
That man's made of steel, bro. I saw how, like you said, on the slow-mo, I watched his leg bend just awkwardly right at the knee there. Dude, I think we all collectively were just, you know, thinking the worst. We were thinking the worst. And for him to get up and just not even miss a play, bro. I mean, the dude's a warrior.
Yeah, my brother the whole time was yelling, "Get off the field! He needs to get off the field!"
Oh, like, shit!
Yo, he was trying hard.
Straight hate.
Yeah, I'm gonna give a shout out first to the employees at the game. Shout out to Kathy, working her tail off at the link. Shout out to all you guys working hard. My offensive MVP's got to be Jalen. He's putting up ridiculous numbers. Completion percentage is 70%+ in the last three games. That's crazy. I think given his injury and where he's at, still coming up with big plays. That dot he threw to Devontae Smith across the middle was perfectly thrown. His laser in the corner to Devontae Smith was another nice throw. Overall, I think he's seeing the field well. And given the way he's dealing with the injury, he's still stepping up in the pocket, making throws, taking hits. He's leading the ship, man. 8-1, man. 8-1.
But Dak had 370 yards and three touchdowns. Say he had a good game. Say it.
shout out to Tim. We went to this outlet and we ended up in the Lids, and it happened to be a Cowboys fan, and he really wanted to talk about the game with us, and about how great Dak was.
Before or
and
after?
This is after.
After the game? Okay.
And I'm like,
really?
Bro, I'm like,
really? Oh, no, really? After the game?
After the game.
I have no words for idiots. That's that. It's like my hypocrisy will only go so far.
I was like, all right, bro, we don't really want to talk about the game with you. We're enjoying our W. We're going to take it down the street. Have a great day. But he was just like, please talk more about the game. I was like, no, we're winners. I'm talking to losers today. Keep it moving. Who's your unsung hero? I'm going Tyler Steen off the jump.
Wait a minute. So you just going? You see what he did to us, fellas? You see how he did that? You see how he did us?
I saw what he did. I'm used to it.
Yeah. Get over it. We did.
Okay. What happened?
Okay. All right. Now I'm starting to see why when he was having computer trouble, you guys were really happy to take over the show. I'm starting to feel the energy. But
because I got my unsung hero in.
It was messed up though.
Who's yours, House? Go ahead.
Well, unsung hero. Shit. I had to go with BG. Because on that two-point conversion, just think about that two-point conversion, his hustle, pushing him out of bounds, and right there, they would have had to do is kick a field goal to tie it up, and we would have been in overtime. But the fact that he didn't give up, because if you go back and look at that particular play, I was laughing to myself because I started marking down L's. You know what L's are? Loafs. I was looking back at the line of scrimmage. I was like, loaf for him, loaf for him. Loaf. The worst thing you want and that's why I used to love because they put out grading stuff up there. And if you had loafs, everybody's looking at you like, so what the fuck was you doing? you was out there being a spectator. And you had to hold guys accountable. And when you see a vet doing that, man, that's why I think he's an unsung hero right there.
For me, I'm going to go Dallas Goedert. I think that, you know, he's been turning it on the past few weeks. Obviously, he got injured. He's going to be missing some time. But in the early part of that game, he was kind of, you know, the one that was moving the ball down the field. They were going to him early and often. And he's going to be missed, man. I think that, you know, not having him in the middle of the field is kind of going to – we're going to feel that loss there. But he was definitely a big impact in this game.
It's definitely a hurt piece. Unsung hero for me, man, I'm going to go with Zach Cunningham. Somebody mentioned him earlier. Oh, nice. I liked it because when Kobe went down, he came in, he filled that gap. He had 8 solo tackles, 10 combined tackles. I mean, that man was all over the field just as well. You know what I mean? So he came in, he stepped up, next man up mentality, and that's what I love to see. He was all over. He was in like a good – 75-80% of the plays, you know, after N'Kobe went down. So it was good. It was good that, you know, I mean, he had that that mentality to go in there and do his part, and that's exactly what he did. So that's my unsung hero.
A lot of love for Gamewell in the chat.
Ooh, mm-hmm. I like that. I like that. Mm-hmm. I mean, that's what I think. Like, some people see some of these players make mistakes, and they just want to trash a player. And his whole body of work. We talk about a guy when Sanders wasn't having his best game. Gamewell came in the Super Bowl. Again, we're talking about fifth round pick here.
Right.
You're getting your bang for your buck with Gainwell. I think his nice run in the beginning of the game, and then he, you know, topped it off with the flip over the top. That was kind of clean. Mm-hmm. And then he had a little touchdown celebration. So I think the fact that his coach didn't give up on him, like some of these fans out here have given up on Gainwell, this is what makes Sirianni a great coach. And he's the kind of guy who's he sets the tone for this team. He's got them balling out there, but
me and Seth felt like he should have been fined for answering the fucking tweet or Instagram DM at halftime. We felt you guys knew about that, right?
Yeah,
I knew about that, but I'm also pressed to believe that if Twitter existed when you were playing, you might have done the same.
You want to know why?
What?
Dude, they was fine. If your phone went off in a meeting, you were getting fucking fined.
Oh, really? I remember watching that on Hard Knocks. People were getting fined.
Yeah, you leave that. Jim would tell you leave that motherfucker in the locker. Mm. Leave it in the locker. Yeah, anybody, you ain't asking that motherfucker in here. unless your wife is pregnant or somebody is gravely ill, you
get out.
Yeah, exactly. It's like that is the most embarrassing thing that can happen, especially not just doing a group meeting means that you're in a position meeting, but when you with the whole defense and everybody chilling, and all of a sudden your phone rings, what the fuck you doing? And then to go in there at halftime and pick your phone up and not be getting the key adjustments that we had to make after halftime, and you answer the fucking tweet? Come on, dude, the fuck out of here. No. But I'm glad he came back from it, though.
What if SpongeBob hit you up during the middle of the game when you got back to him?
SpongeBob and Patrick know not to hit me up during the game. They know better.
let's see. I mean, people are giving a lot of love to Gamewell here. Anyways.
He bounced back, you know.
Yeah, I like the fact that regardless of how much he got shitted on during the week before this game, he came back and he showed him, you know what I mean? Like, you don't get that from every player. I mean, let's go back to Rager. Look, he couldn't handle it. You know what I mean? He couldn't handle
man is still putting tweets out.
Right. Oh, he can't handle the negativity. You know what I mean? So it all depends on the person. And Gamewell show, you could come at me with in all different directions, and I'm still going to go ahead and overcome this shit. And that's exactly what he did.
We got a question here. The tackle that injured Goddard, shout out to Eagles, has landed. Do any of you think it was a dirty play?
Fucking right. I called that shit. I yelled that shit. That shit was dirty as hell. That was some MMA shit right there.
Dude, he grabbed his arm and then
exactly
his body on top of it. I mean, the entire argument online all day today has been Dallas was attempting to stiff arm him, and you're taught to go after the arm. He was behind him. He was behind him.
Paul, you said it was dirty?
Yeah, it was dirty as hell because You're supposed to throw his arm up and then knock the shit out of him. He grabbed his arm, bent it, and like landed on it. It was just like it was dirty.
The way he twisted, it was like a little twist that he did.
Grabbed his arm and then like rolled.
There was a couple plays that were dirty, man. How about my man when he needed Kelsey? Yo, it set Kelsey off.
Did it ever?
It set Kelsey.
What happened with that? I just saw Kelsey yelling. I didn't see what caused it.
Kelsey ended up going back, and the guy was still over top of him. And then like about 2-3 seconds later, he took his knee right into his face face mask. And, yo, Kelsey lost it. And, yo, Kelsey was not the same after that play. Mm-hmm. He was aggressive. I mean, it pissed him off. It was a good piss off, but he pissed him off.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. It's like when you look at it, they were doing a lot of extra bullshit to try to get the victory. And if they're happy with losing the way they did, that's cool, because if they come out with the same thing, I think we're going to be better next time. I think we're going to be a little bit healthier. It won't be Tyler Steen's first start, and they're going to remember the shit that they did in this game. And then especially defensively, I feel like defensively we'll be better you know, better equipped, not so much equipped, but better, more familiar with the size defense. As you, and then and Kevin, I can't wait to see what happens when he gets his week off and he's able to come in and get all the coverages and stuff and get all the verbiage down. Because the one thing that that happens in the NFL is everybody's copycats, but the only thing that's different from team to team is the verbiage, is what they call everything. So you just got to get that down. Once he gets that down, I think he's going to be a quality find. So I cannot wait. First game back. You know Kansas City's on a bye too. That's mm-hmm. our next game back. So
that's cool.
And don't you know, start, and please don't start talking about Super Bowl revenge, because we don't get no fucking ring if we win.
Yeah, just I ain't worried about that. Just right.
Just go out and kick their ass.
I'm with you, Hollis.
I mean, the topic that I'm hearing a lot about is the gauntlet. If you look below, we have the bird schedule. Week 9, right. Cowboys got that ass whooped. Week 10, we got the bye. We could all spend time with our families and, you know, the kids remember our faces, what we look like. Week 11 at the Chiefs, not to remind you that we are all going on the Philly sports trips via their charter plane. That'll be cool. We're going to a history museum with Hollis. World War II.
Saturday. World War I, pal.
World War Museum, yes.
And then maybe some barbecue.
What do you mean, maybe?
Of course we are.
You got one of the fattest guys that looks fat, and then the other guys, the rest of them are inner fat guys.
Hey, you know how many comments I got from English Eagle fans that were talking about, have you seen Hollis's neck?
Yeah, nobody see my neck.
We're all nobody can see that nobody neck.
That's the biggest human being I've ever seen in my life.
Yeah,
you still got it, bro. I was like, man, listen. So I'm excited for that game. And then we have after we have the 49ers.
Nope.
Got the Bills. I'm sorry.
I knew that you were waiting on that scroll bar to come out. He's trying to time it out perfectly.
So we got the Bills. The Bills have looked a little perplexed, shall we say? They look a little off as we speak.
Well, the funniest thing is too is like Leslie Frazier's not calling the defense, and then they lost. They started middle linebacker to free agency, and the person who's calling the defense. He got fired here for like almost the same reason. Sean McDermott. I like Sean, but sometimes he calls a bunch of bullshit. So,
I just think, like, listen, I understand that this is what was considered before the season started, the gauntlet and the hardest part of our schedule. And I still think at present time that this is the hardest part of our schedule. But sitting here at 8-1, it's kind of hard not to just look at these teams and be like, we're better than all of them. I mean, that's how I kind of view it, man. I think out of that gauntlet, as we put it, the Chiefs will be our toughest game. But other than that, I'm confident, man. I feel good.
I like it.
Your voices sound so positive. That's the most
you heard the bass too. I heard the bass. Hey, a little bit bass.
But Prime, it sounds way better than when we were talking about Miami a few weeks ago.
Yeah.
Hey. I'm glad to be wrong, bro.
Fucker.
So I mean, let's talk about. We did talk about some negatives, but real talk. What are some negatives, things that need to be cleaned up moving forward?
Defensive play calling has to be a whole lot better, man. The fact that CeeDee Lamb was wide open on maybe about 3 plays that I remember seeing him, right. I did not understand that shit. I was in disbelief just seeing that shit. Like, of all people, him being as wide open as he was, that shit was throwing me off. So, I mean, like, I don't know, man. We're about to go into the gauntlet part of our season. It has to get better. We are 8-1, no doubt about it. And we did everything we did possible to go ahead and be at this point of the season. But the rest of the season, in order for us to get back to that big game and over the hump, we gotta make better defensive play callings, man. These guys have the potential. We have the right people in the right spots, you know what I mean? And we're making things happen, but we gotta just definitely have some better play calling than that.
Now, so to piggyback, can I piggyback off what Prime was saying? Right. I think if our linebacker is going to be stinking up the joint like that and we can't cover the middle like that, Not that Jeremiah Trotter wasn't a good cover line, but it developed a quality cover linebacker. But if you're not going to cover anybody, we might as well send you to chase the quarterback and knock the shit out of him and get him down, because he can't throw over the middle if he's on his back. I feel like we should do some what I call zone pressures. They shouldn't always know when we're blitzing and who we're blitzing. There needs to be a little bit of creativity. And to Prime, you didn't mention it. We need to figure out what the fuck to do when teams come in with a bunch formation. And the bunch formation and the motion.
Yep.
It hasn't fucked us over this year yet, but somebody's gonna go look at that film, because as I said, this is a copycat league, and they're gonna look to see find the chinks in our armor. And that was one of the play actually in the Super Bowl, and nobody paid attention to it being a Jacksonville Jaguars play.
Mm-hmm. So a little jet motion. Marissa says the middle of the field has to be protected. I keep saying this.
Yeah.
Tim in the comments says ball security.
Yeah.
I saw one in here that was speaking exactly to where I wanted to go. And that was, let me find it. Oh, here we go. Mike Stansberry. Offensive play sequencing and situational offense. This for me is something that came to mind. Obviously, we've talked about the defensive side of the ball, but offensively, as good as we've been, drifting away from the run, I don't like it, man. I think that coming back from the bye week, obviously we're going to have Beef Jerky back.
Cam's
going to be back. And I think we'll be more fortified in the offensive line. And I think we'll go back to running the ball. But, like, there is some sort of situational things where, like, I think about that 3rd and 3. Then we ended up going for the deep ball. And, like, keep it simple, stupid. That's all you got to do. If you run the ball, you get 2 yards, you could tush-push to a first down. The tush-push is what works. It's a cheat code. That
could
we
have
had
2 yards on the two.
Use it every goddamn drive. I don't care. Like, it doesn't matter that if you – I don't understand why the Eagles would ever not use it, because even when teams know it's coming, they're still able to get it. So
cheating.
Keep it simple, stupid.
They're cheating.
The funny thing about what you said, Ev Love – and I wanted to interject, but I withheld it. It's like, why do we get cute after we've been whooping people's ass? Like, you ever notice when we were whooping somebody ass all the way downfield and we get in the red zone and start doing cute shit?
Yep.
It's like, quit doing the cute shit. Just keep on knocking the shit out of them. The cute shit can come later. The cute shit can come. You can try the cute shit after you've bludgeoned them. Because once you bludgeon somebody, then you slow them down and they're looking for what's coming next. And they don't know what's coming next. The greatest thing that I love when I'm watching the birds is when they're running the ball down somebody's throat and they're doing everything in their power to try to stop and they can't fucking stop it.
Yep.
And then you get their DBs coming up. The DBs coming up. Then what happens? Play action, motherfucking fake.
Yep.
And we got
Schmitty
number 11
in the end zone.
We got either Schmitty or if you want to make him look real bad, we throw it in the double coverage with AJ Brown and watch him point at two people. We're running the ball 8 times less than we did all last year in each game.
Mm-hmm.
8 times less. That's like we throw the ball and somebody said in the comments, we're putting too much pressure on Jalen. Even though he did get the big contract, you don't put that much pressure on the team. It's like, this is a team thing. We need to play some complimentary football. Mm-hmm. It's like, we have a good defense, but only if they're not on the field. Sooner or later, the opposing team is paid as well. They're going to make a play. So, it's, mm-hmm. and it keeps the clock running, too. And we're successful at it. Shit!
I'm going to go. They really have to start protecting the seams. I think whether it's deep crossers, I mean, you saw the way that Mahomes attacked us in the Super Bowl. They came. That was the first play they hit us with. Mm-hmm. It seems like it's just a weakness. Especially, I think tight ends. I think tight ends are doing their thing against us.
They got Travis Kelce.
I mean, tight ends. Yeah, I'm saying, like, we're talking about, like, I'm not gonna say running the mill, but just your basic tight ends in the league are getting theirs against us. We're getting Kelce in the following week.
you have, we're getting Kittle in the following week. We're getting what's the guy from the Bills? Another good tight end.
Knox.
So I mean,
because they get drafted. One of them is hurt. So the one thing that does alleviate that, Gil, is that clear present danger. If you pressure their ass, they don't got time to wait on that seam to develop. True. It's like if our linebackers are fucking not going to cover that, they might as well be chasing after the goddamn dang quarterback. I'm sorry. I'm not sorry. We need to put more pressure on the quarterback and make him make fast decisions. So it's like, go ahead.
Can I say something controversial an hour and 15 minutes into the show?
Okay, you remember you're the only white guy on here, so.
It has nothing to do with race. It has to do with the fact of, I mean, it has to do with the NFL pushing stories.
Oh, God.
And, you know, we've talked a lot about the Travis Kelce and Taylor Swift thing.
God.
Listen, man, DeMar Hamlin's been inactive pretty much every game.
Thank you.
Like, they keep on bringing it up, like, every week. And it's like, I'm not trying to be a dick, man.
So what are you trying to say?
We need to cut down on DeMar Hamlin coverage. Like, the dude's a practice squad player. Like,
Not only that, I'll say it for you. Why are we fucking talking about him? To me, personally, I feel like he's been in the face of God. He gave you another chance. I don't even know. I wouldn't even go on the football field after that. That's a life or death experience that's supposed to change your life.
I'm glad he's healthy. Like, don't get me wrong. I'm glad he's healthy. It's just like the story's over, we can stop talking about it.
Yeah.
But it sounds like it's the same person talking about it, and that's Chris Collinsworth.
Yeah.
He's the one that talks about it.
But
all
like
the time.
I saw this whole thing like last night after the game, where he's out on the field in the spot where that happened, and it's like, dude, you weren't even active for the game. Like, I don't know, man. Maybe I'm being a dick.
No, you're not. Because it's
just a slight one, but you know.
Now we're gonna get dragged in the Bills community. Thanks, Ev.
Nobody gives a fuck.
Someone's gonna hit Ev with a table.
Tomorrow's my hero.
it's like Ev saying, it's like they keep nobody's gonna say this, but after the Commanders game, one of our running backs got fined $9,800 for running through a tackler. DeAndre Swift. He got on the one on the goal line where he ran the end zone, and the guy was coming at him. And that's another story. It's like, what the fuck are you doing? And it's like, not only that, it's like the story with Hamlin, the story with Taylor Swift. I can give a fuck less about Taylor Swift. Not that I don't care about Hamlin, but he's not playing. And I think they only let him on the team just to be nice about the and convenient about the situation. Because if it's me and I saw what I saw on that night at watching the game, I'm not putting him back out there because I don't want to be responsible for the kid's death. It's like that only happened one other time in football in 1960, and they didn't know what the fuck happened, so the guy died on the field. It's like, so you don't spit that back in the Lord's face. Do something. I don't know. And I don't feel like I'm being a dick either. That's just my opinion. I wouldn't be out there. I don't think he should be out there.
It's like going surfing after you get attacked by a shark, bro. You're gonna keep surfing. Yes,
I see a lot of them. That one girl got her arm bit off and she's still surfing. Hey, but again, people live their lives. I let people live their lives. But going back to say it with your chest, 843 Philly fan says, stop playing 10 yards deep on third downs.
I hate that.
Mark wants to see get Penny in the backfield more.
Yeah, I met Mark. I'm gonna kick you in the teeth when I see you again.
Todd says Hollywood is on fire tonight.
Hey, I appreciate it.
Joseph says, "God, man, these comments, man, I can't get them up any quicker." Anywhere is the slants and screens with Swift? Where are the quick slants to screen and screens to Swift?
Where is the quick slants and screens to Swift?
Yeah, I mean, we should get a little bit more creative with that, man. I'm like, come on.
You see how he glossed over that prime?
Hey, we got to talk to StreamYard about your comment section because it takes forever.
Dude, that's not the only thing I want to talk to StreamYard about. They've been laggy as hell for months now.
I got an email. Uh-huh. I see an email. It was like an email from Evan, like, arguing
with the StreamYard company, like, your shit is fix your shit. And then, like, it's like some robotic person from like StreamYard.
I forgot I said that.
Yo, but funny story after the game. This is funny. This is really funny, but not really funny. But there was a woman who, like, we thought was like really distraught or something.
Oh,
you know, it was just crazy. It was just a crazy story. But we're all enjoying the win. Everyone's having a good time.
I was telling my wife about this.
Then all of a sudden, this woman comes out of nowhere. She's like crying, like, and we're like being the good Samaritans that we're trying to do. We're trying to get her some help.
Yeah,
and she's like crying. Like she said that she's
where
jumped.
We're right
in the parking lot where the tailgate was. Okay. So then Prime runs to the police. He stops the car and says, "Hey, this lady is having some issues." And they I guess they were getting some calls about her. So they said they're not dealing with her right now. So so we get back to our car and then we're in our section. So then there's nothing else we can do.
Yeah.
But then she starts banging on my window.
Oh God!
And then
she did a 360. Man.
Yeah, so I move my car up, and I'm like, damn, this lady's out of control. I was like, we got to move up. So then she gets to the next car. Shout out to Chris from VA, sitting in his car. She comes and grabs like his hat off and rips his glasses off, and she starts sprinting. And all of a sudden, I look over. Prime is like full sprint he had a form running was like this, and she looked back at Prime and she dropped everything because he looked like he was about to tear her up, and she just dropped whatever she had in her hand. And Chris got his glasses back. He's sitting in his car. He's like, I couldn't see without my glasses.
Oh God.
Prime saved the day.
That was some awkward shit though, man. Like I Gil said, I was trying to help the lady out. I go to the cop. The cop was like, "Yeah, man, we've been dealing with her all day. There ain't nothing we could do." So
she strung out her.
Yeah, you could tell, like, she was. You could tell she was out of it, but she was all bloodied up, like she got beat up. And that's what she said. But then the crazy part was like I forgot who had said it. They were like, "Oh yeah, they coming around." And the cops kept going. And I'm like, all right, well, I guess it ain't coming around. So, yo, freaking Gail moves up. Chris gets in the car. I can't leave Mark there. I'm like, Mark, get in the car with Chris. Chris, if you don't mind, can you take him? Because I hear you over there by the airport. Chris being the team player that he is, he's like, I got you, Prime. Don't worry about it. And then, like Gail said, man, this girl, she's like yelling at us. Oh, I bet you. Yo, she set me off because she's like, oh, I bet you if I was Hispanic, you would have been helping me. I'm like, there you go. That's where you fucked up right there. Conversation over. Now take your ass, go that way, do whatever. And yeah, she went and literally just snagged the hat off of Chris. And Chris was just caught off guard. Yo, Mark, she's all in Mark's face. I'm like, yo, what is up with this lady? So when she ran, yeah, man, I ran right after her. And like Gil said, she saw me. She threw the hat and glasses up. And she was like, oh,
she didn't want this. She didn't want this.
And she kept on going. I was like, all right, man. Like, that was some crazy shit.
What the hell
was
she going to do with that shit?
Yo, man, she was on some. Oh,
never
man,
go full it. Optimus.
But before we got out of here, make sure you guys visit Philly Sports Trips. If you're looking to go on a trip. Whether it be the Kansas City trip, we're going to Dallas. I know Evan's not going to Dallas, but Prime and Hollis will be there.
Damn, Skippy.
I think I'm thinking about going on Seattle trip. That'll be thinking about it. I just gotta get my money, right?
Nah, Seattle, I'm out on Seattle.
And what about you, Ev? Love, you're not going to Seattle?
Nah, my company doesn't like me having fun. They say you only get a certain amount of PTO days, and I've used them all up this year. So
okay, I can respect that. Yeah. I'm not gonna start. I'm not gonna start a fire.
I actually had to work two weekend days just to be able to go to KC. To be honest, I'm working next Sunday on the bye week. I'm gonna be doing a filming in Philly.
Okay, but I like shout out to Prime. I saw your interaction with Jake Elliott. That was pretty cool.
Thanks,
man. Thank you. Like he fanboyed. He left you out. He fanboyed up and
Nobody
out. Yo, Prime's big time now, bro. Dude, chilling with Michael Barkan. We didn't even talk about that, bro. Like,
Michael XFL Barkan. The next time you talk to a Prime, say, what's this Michael XFL Barkan? You know they paid him to do the inauguration of the first XFL.
Really?
Really?
Yeah. I was laughing because I was like, when it first came on, you remember they did the scrum for the football instead of having a coin toss?
Yeah, yeah.
And he was there like a WWE announcer, like this live. It's the scrum for the ball. I was like, motherfucker. So every time I see him now, I call him Michael XFL Barkan. And for what he told me that they paid him, I would have done it too.
I just want to know, you let that man call you Luciano?
Yeah, he called me Luch, man. What was I going to say? You know what I mean? Like, I was caught up in the moment, bro. I wasn't even worried about it. It was cool, man. We did a few takes. You know, there were certain things I could talk about, certain things I couldn't.
Were you on a closed course driving?
No, we were at Franklin Park. We were just doing laps. You know what okay. I mean? Like, yeah, we ended up doing three takes. So we ended up doing like about three laps. And then when we get to the parking spot, he was like, the guy saw Rick is talking to us through the phone, and he's like, yo, we're going to get some video of the truck. So I'm like listening to Mike, and I'm walking out, and then I'm not even paying attention. And then here comes Jake Elliott walking up, and I'm like, oh shit. Like, yeah, I was like, okay. And yeah, it was a cool moment, man. I had a great time.
I don't know if we set the scene, but so Prime was in a Nissan commercial with Mark Barkan. It's airing on NBC Philly now. So if you see it now, videotape it. Maybe you can get Prime to sign your phone or something.
Oh God.
Anything, you know. I actually did find a car commercial with yours truly down there, Hollis Thomas.
You talking about the Jeep, Jenny?
No, this one's even better.
Which one is it?
I don't even know if I have it, but I did have some.
Did he have a neck at the time?
The Vivian. No, it was.
He was on. We had him on. Hollis was on a pair of skis, and he was going downhill.
That was Vivian. That was the Jeep Jenny. If you go to YouTube and put my name in and put it in the Jeep Jenny, and that commercial comes up, and it's another commercial comes up. Hey, I got paid well for those commercials.
Hey.
I believe
I wanted to bring that up one time. I saved it in my phone, but
okay. Money talk moments. Bullshit runs the marathon.
Good moments. Good moments. But before we get out of here, let's just talk about what are you guys doing during the bye?
Relax.
Go to KC.
I'm relaxing with the kids and the wifey, man.
I'm just learning how to read drawings due to one of my side gigs as a general contractor. Nice. That shit is tedious. And I fell asleep every time I start reading the motherfuckers. But between that and then I'm gonna be breaking down some more film. I watch college football. I have a couple of charity appearances and stuff. I'm trying to make my the thing for Eagles Autism. They do the Legends part, so it's a bunch of people that's starting to do like events, and they're trying to see what it takes to get me there. I'm gonna probably basically tell them to donate to mine. Or just give me the money first, and I'll get it in all ones, and you know, and go get some glitter and shame.
In all ones.
glitter and shame, you know. Glitter and shame, baby. And then, but no, it's like, but just breaking down some more college film, seeing who the Giants are going to draft. They're going to draft. They better draft a fucking quarterback. Oh God. Oh, sorry. But I don't know where I was going with that. I talk to Steve Trevalese every week, every Friday. So, but that's it. I'm just going to be breaking down some film, baby.
Fun fact, Steve Trevalese is actually the first radio host I've ever called into on the radio.
Oh, yeah.
When I was younger.
Well, what did you ask him?
Dude, I don't even remember. I don't even think it was like sports radio at the time. He was on 101.5. It was just like a general talk show.
Hi, my name's Evan. I want to know.
Okay.
I mean, I was driving, so I definitely had hit puberty at that
point. Okay, you're at hit puberty.
You must have dropped. Okay.
Yeah. what am I going to do? I think I'm I got some stuff I got to do around the house. I'm painting the front door, y'all.
Hey,
That's all I got. Just relaxing and maybe go to a couple restaurants. Wow. You know, maybe get some tacos.
Not
primo.
I already have my tacos for the night. I'm good.
but again,
Taco Tuesday. Damn.
It is Taco Tuesday. Kyle.
This is getting a little bit. You're asking too much here. If we're still manscaping or not.
Yeah, asked a bit outside.
What?
Way too soon. Oh. Easy there, buddy.
Yeah, Lena asked, "Did you have Ty yet?"
You talking to me?
Yeah.
I ain't tried Ty. No, I haven't tried Ty. You never had Thai food.
I've had them before.
I was because I went yesterday. I went to Korean barbecue, K-pot, mm-hmm. yeah. randomly, mm-hmm. and I was talking about y'all and the experience that y'all had,
yeah.
and how Evan was so culturally gifted after that he went back
a couple times
and shared that knowledge with his friends. They were like,
yeah, that's true.
So get some Thai food. God damn, Ev.
You ever have?
Yes, I've had it. Yes, I've had it, Ev. But before we get out of here, last word from y'all.
I feel like we said it all, bro.
Last word before we get out of here.
My last word will be very short and simple. Fuck them boys and let's go Birds.
My last word is simple too. So people wanted to know, are y'all still in Boys? And go Birds. I forgot to wear my Romo t-shirt. I gotta wear that one next week.
I was gonna ask my brother, hoping he was gonna come on the show, are you still them boys? You know what I mean? Because, you know, this is what it is for life. That's my last word.
One of my last words is make sure you hit up Crafty John. Shout out to Rich. He made these signs, made these chains. He's the one that put it on the Rocky. That had you guys all in a tizzy. People in our DMs trying to kill us because we jinxed the potential loss to the Cowboys. Right. Have confidence in your team. We won a Super Bowl. This team's not cursed. How many games have we won at home? Feel good about your damn Eagles. You got a hell of a quarterback in Jalen Hurts. There's nothing to be worried about. He's leading the ship. We got Sirianni, just social awareness. He's selfless. Be proud of your squad. We're 8-1. We're going in the bye, and just living the dream.
I got one last thing to say. I omitted to mention it. I just sent you guys a new link to my new T-shirt.
Oh shit!
That's coming out. Maximizing my sexy, the damn Skippy Club, and also. The one with the flower power, which is what we were trying to say. Damn Skippy. It's on phillysportshirts.com. Go to the vetted one and also vetted t-shirts. Now,
you even got the flower power going on? I love that.
But read what it says, Ev, because it coincides with what we were talking about earlier.
Damn Skippy Club.
Yes,
victory may not be pretty, mm-hmm. but the W is sexy.
Exactly. We were talking about that at the beginning of the game, and I find us talking about that each and every week. But when you're the hunted, it's going to be like that. Everything is not going to be a smooth transition. So, but I wanted to make sure I sent that to you guys because it's just dropping this week.
You got a new album coming out too?
No, the Maximizing My Sexy and the
mixtape. No mixtape. No mixtape coming
out. I used to sell mixtapes.
I'm a man. I'm right.
I'm a man and I win. That's what it means. But I am right about that. Check
well, you heard
check out Rack Shack's podcast, NFL Masala.
Well, check out the vetted one. We have Doc Talk.
Yeah,
I gotta start sending out a link when Doc's gonna be on because I need you to
ask Dawkins just about the Reed Blankenship nicknames. If he's heard about him and how he feels about Chalk Dog,
okay, this
Calvin
is what
Jenkins.
This is what I'm going to do. The next time he's on, I'm going to make sure that I see you guys the link with us going on.
Okay.
And he comes on at about 40 minutes into because he's like the last 15 to 20 minutes of the show. Mm-hmm. And I'm going to send it so you can see. So make sure you send me that question.
Okay.
And the milk missile. I don't know how that's going to go with Doc.
Yeah,
Doc's my boy, and I be cracking up because somebody, one of the guys asked, like, I was talking and I cursed. And he said, "You curse around Doc?" I was like, "Me and Doc have an understanding. When I'm talking to Doc, I don't curse because I show him respect because I don't curse at him. I told him, but if you walk up and I'm telling the story, that's your fault. I'm not tethered. I won't curve who I am just because. But when I talk to you, I will show you the respect, you know, that you desire. Not so much that you desire, he just doesn't like cursing. And when you start cursing around at him or when you're talking to him, he kind of like loses interest in what you're talking about. Mm-hmm. But it's kind of funny because he's wanted to curse. The only time I've heard him curse when he said, God dog it. God dog it. I was like, so is that a curse word, dog? He's like, that's the closest I get, Holly T. But yeah.
He did give you a shout out at the fan fest. He said that Hollis kept it light. He kept him when he was stressed in the locker room. He like I could always look to Hollis.
He did shout keep you out.
Keep it light. We was in the same class, and the one thing, quick story before I before we get out of here. Scout team, they make all rookies get on scout team. Me and him were on scout team for one day. We totally destroyed every, because they said you're not a dummy. So he said, be a player, do what's on the card, but still be a player. And we told they ass up. The next day we were no longer on the scout team.
I
love that.
And the rest is history. Yes,
the rest is history. But for me and the boys, shout out to y'all and people in the comments. Love the interaction. We got a bye week.
Let's enjoy it.
Enjoy the weekend. We'll see you guys next one.
What happened?
No one can catch us on bye week.
hell to the now. Especially get you ahead, suckers.
And with that, fly, you'll fly, and we'll see you guys in the next one.
Go Birds.